This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Before I get into the word, I want to pray, and then we'll get started. So, Father, I thank you that you are a good, good Father. I thank you, Lord, for song and worship, Lord, and that as we dive into your word, Lord, I ask for what it intended to be, Lord, that it would pierce our hearts, Lord, it would encourage, it would challenge us, and Lord, that that you would speak through me, and Lord, when my tongue is tied or my communication might be lacking, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and make it clear in Jesus' name, amen. And so, as Pastor Ed mentioned, we've been here, and I think my wonderful wife said we've been here for 9 years. I went to school here at Florida State University. Go Noles, right, Pastor? And there's a joke there because I actually like the Gators. So yeah, when I say go Noles, everybody kind of looks at me with disgust in their face. And so, but I graduated there, my bachelor's and master's. And then soon after graduation, I went overseas to the country Jordan. Before I arrived there, I didn't know there was a country Jordan. I knew there was a Jordan River because of the Bible, but I didn't know. And then, and my lack of knowledge, when somebody told me there was a king, I said, those things still exist? Not thinking about the monarch in England being a queen. So long story short, I've grown a lot in my knowledge of understanding and things like that. And so hopefully it comes out as I get to share today. But I met my wonderful wife over there in Jordan. We got married in 2012, met in 2011. Had our first daughter, Maya, who's turning 10 in a week or so. And so we had her, and it was quite difficult just being away from family. And so we talked about it and decided the best place that we felt like was going to be a great place to raise family was here in Tallahassee. And I had attended church at another place during school, and great, wonderful people, but one thing that we wanted to kind of to do was kind of go together. Not, hey, come along and be with my friends, Deanna, because I went to college here and things like that. And we went to two or three different churches, and then we landed here. And we had never left because we felt like it was family. And so I will cry today. I will make a fool of myself maybe, but I wanted to let you know that I do cherish each one of y'all. And a blessing y'all have been to our lives, and hopefully we've been a blessing to you as well. And so, that being said, I want to kind of discuss about the body of Christ and the importance of each other. At the end of the sermon, we're actually going to take the opportunity to take a couple minutes to do, I want to call it a survey, but a questionnaire of how can we better serve each other, and how we can grow better, and how we can use our giftings for one another and for the community. And so if I sound a little bit challenging, it's not because that I think that I've arrived or am doing everything that I can be doing, because I know that, as you saw, about 60 kids run out of this room, that we are hands full, everybody's busy, but I still think to kind of process how do we serve one another and how do we serve our community, even in those difficult and challenging times. So I don't have any really slides, so we're going to go old school. If you have your Bibles or your app on your phone, we're going to go to Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16. And I'm reading out of NIV because I think it's for a fifth grade reading level, so that's perfect for me. So, and so Ephesians 3:16, Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen. And so the great thing about for me reading the Bible is that means it's less preaching, that the word speaks for itself. But there's some things that I want to touch on that kind of really strike me, is this aspect here in 18. It says, may have power together with all the Lord's people. And so, with all the Lord's people. So, I know there's moments in our lives where we're kind of burnt out by the community of church and might be offended by a believer or be frustrated how churches operated or lacking certain opportunities or things like that. And sometimes we're like, man, I just want to read my Bible and I just want to be myself. I don't want to figure things out in life. And there's always times for that. And we do have to have that personal relationship with Jesus. And we got to dive deep with him. But I think there's something to said about being with God's people. And so it says with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. So I believe, and maybe I'm stretching it a little bit here, is that in order to know the height, the depth, the length, the width, it needs to be in the context of the body of Christ. And Pastor did mention it before I came up and says we have different giftings. We preach different styles. We do different things. We process differently. We extroverts, introverts, you know, whatever it may be. But in the body of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, that we're able to be unified and be diverse. And so, and I know we're in a university town, that there's a diverse amount of departments, but they're all under one head of Florida State University. And so I think the Lord in his infinite wisdom decided to give his life, and that, as we'll read a little later about first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, that he grafted the Gentiles into God's plan, that there is a diverse aspects that everybody brings to the table that I can't do on my own. And so if I said, okay, guys, let's do this at the church. I think it would be great. Let's go play Ultimate Frisbee. And everybody looks at me like, what is Ultimate Frisbee? What are you talking about? Oh, let's go play disc golf. What are you talking about? Let's go play pickleball, right, Eric? We're going to do that later. So we have different desires, different tastes, different things we enjoy, but it might not be the same thing that somebody else enjoys. And that's fine. That's great. But in the love of Christ, I'm to love that person in their giftings and in their talents and the things that they enjoy, because I believe that's what Jesus does for me. I know that Jesus does that for you as well. And so my ability to reach whatever type of people group or neighbors or whatever it may be only can go so far. And so I might just be one seed that's planted in somebody's heart and like, you know what, I'll go with Ross to small group. I'll go Ross to here. And he's like, I'm just doing this because I'm just being nice. But all of a sudden they come and they see Shane. Like, man, that guy's got it all together. And he's like, man, I can relate to him because he might connect on him on a whole different level. Because Shane has experienced Christ and loves Jesus and loves others. But there's only so far I can go in certain giftings because that's how God's designed me. And so I think that's the thing that I'm trying to hone in, is that to know the height, the depth, the width, and I think I'm missing one other one. The height, the depth, the long, and the width is in the context of the community of believers. And so, and what's beautiful in that, it's not only so more people will experience the love of Christ, but also I experience the love of Christ because of those relationships and those giftings and those talents that I don't have. And so there's so many times in our small group that we get to facilitate and we get to talk, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I never looked at it that way. Or even getting to listen to the gentleman who gets to share about Mark from pursuegod.org. I said, man, I didn't get it that way. I didn't understand that way. Because I think it's sometimes we get it in another level. Oh, man, another height, another width, another depth. And so to encourage us is that, man, not only am I reaching others, but, man, I'm going to understand Jesus more. And so I know that, I don't know if most people, Jeremy and Julie, they beat us. They got seven with them right now. But we got five kids, Dion and I, and it's hard. It's complicated. It's not easy. And so to attend a Wednesday night or to go to, you know, a men's retreat or do an activity to help clean up the church, it's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. But I can guarantee you this, that when we do, and I don't know if y'all experience, I'm sure we're not the only ones that it seems like it's yelling and screaming until you hit the the doors of our church, because it is hard to get to here. It's hard to do, but when we get here, man, isn't God faithful to refresh us with his presence and to be refreshed with each other? And so, to say the least, I know that it is a sacrifice. I know it's difficult, but you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to make it today. And sometimes you can't make it. And sometimes you need to stay home. And so just because life sometimes just will knock you down. But the thing I'm trying to say is that when sometimes we say, oh, they're not going to miss me. It's just me not going to be there. I'm the one that's going to miss out. And you might miss out in some aspects, but I'll say even more than this, that I'm missing out. We're missing out when you're not here because of the giftings, the talents, these things that you present, that when you might speak into my life or you might share in your brokenness. You said, Ross, I just need prayer. You know, time after time, and maybe I'm just a person that likes to cry a lot, but I've prayed for certain people and I'm overtaken by the presence of God because of that brokenness and humbleness and a desire to be healed, that my heart is refreshed. And I guarantee you, if I just sat here and nobody came up to get prayer for, I know I'm not going to experience the height, the depth, the width of God without that vulnerability, because that's how God just operates. We're able to carry each other's burdens and we to grow together. And so that's the main scripture I wanted to share from, but there's some other ones I wanted to jump around and kind of just encourage us with. Next is in John 17. John 17. We're in John 17, 20. And Adam probably would be able to, you know, use his giftings and knows the word of God in and out. And I was trying to determine, when was this Jesus, you know, praying this prayer? Was it in the Garden of Gethsemane, or was it when he was with his disciples in the upper room? I'm not 100% sure, but it's around in that timeline. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and then all of a sudden he begins to pray to the Father, then he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for all believers who to come to faith through the Holy Spirit, through the disciples. And so he prays here in verse 20. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." Thank you, Lord. And so, what a beautiful prayer. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of in them and unity, and it repeats itself over and over again. And I read over and over again, but I guarantee you that was, he repeated himself in his prayer. But I think he's trying to make a point. And what a amazing thing that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is talking to the Father. And I know sometimes when I pray, I don't feel like I'm heard. I know I'm heard, but I might not feel like I'm heard. But I'm confident in this, that what Jesus asked, that the Father did, and we'll see out to completion. So when he said, "I desire that they would be one as you and I are one," talking about the Trinity, the Godhead, which to me, I need to look more into, but what a concept of to be finite and to be part of that relationship as God and the Father are one, that we're supposed to be part of that relationship. And God makes that available through his son Jesus. And so, and I'll be honest, I read through this and I'm like, man, I'm just kind of just scratching my head, Lord, how does this happen? How does this work? How can I be one just as you are one? Because that's just some deep stuff. And I think as I was reading through it, some stuff that kind of jumped at me from what Jesus was talking to his disciples earlier in the scripture. And so I'm going to jump to John 15:5. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And so, I challenge the aspect of God says that we would be one as him and the Father are one. How do we do that? That we would remain in him. That if we're not remaining in him, how do we remain in Jesus? Is Jesus before this, in verse 14, talks about the Holy Spirit. And so he says, "I'm going to leave, which is better for you, disciples, but I will send an advocate for you." That, where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives inside our hearts. And so what I'm grasping for this situation is like, okay, Lord, I don't know what it means to be you and be one as you and the Father, but then I think the Lord's beginning to let me chew on it more. So it's like, oh, it's not necessarily my being, it's the Holy Spirit inside me that I begin to understand God, that I begin to understand who he is, and I begin to understand his nature because his nature's in me. Not because I'm intellectually aware and understand certain things, but it's literally because the third person of the Trinity literally abides in me. And as I remain in the Word, which is Jesus, the Word of God in flesh, that then I'm able to love as God loves. I'm able to be Christ's disciples. And so as I'm processing this out, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm beginning to see all this is revolved around Jesus and the Holy Spirit and saying, I need you daily. How do I be more like you? It's by the Holy Spirit. And how do I understand what the Holy Spirit's saying? A lot of it is through the Word of God. And the Lord can visit us in dreams and visions, but the Lord will usually speak through dreams and visions through the Word of God. And so I encourage myself and everyone here is that, man, if I want to abide, if I want to remain in the vine, I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me through the Word of God. And so, next thing I want to touch on about aspect abiding in the vine, or same chapter, is talking about God says that we would love as he loves. And so, how do we do that? And so, in John 15, I read a little bit about earlier, starting in verse 7 through 12. It says, "If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this." He says, if you obey my commands, he says, my commands is this: love each other as I have loved you. And my wife can attest to this. Man, I need to love her better. I need to love my family better not because my standards is something I see or experience here. It's because God says, love as I have loved you. And so there's no way on God's green earth that I'm able to love out of my own flesh and my own ability to love you or love my family on my own. It literally has to be abiding in the vine. And so his command, so if I want to remain in the vine, I need to obey his commands. And his commands is to love each other as he has loved us. And then from there, I'm going to wrap it up here soon. Going to go to the good old love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. Because so God says, love as I've loved you. So what is love? And I know that, I mean, growing up, I watched a lot of Disney movies. And I'll tell you right now, what I saw was not love by any means. Even though it might have been entertaining and got me all excited, oh man, one day maybe I'll have a girlfriend and all this different stuff. Went down that road and caught a heartache. But praise God that he's faithful and then met my love Deanna. With that being said, I wanted to describe what love is. And I think we all know the scripture, but how often do we need to be reminded of what love is every day? And so chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Praise the Lord. And man, I look at those adjectives describing love. I guarantee I was not patient this morning. I'm sure I kept a record of wrongs. And I wasn't always hoping that I'd get, you know, that I was going to be here on time, which I wasn't. But praise God that He provides a way to come to Him and to share, like, Lord, man, I need your love. I need to remain in you so that I can love my family, so I can love each of you. And so one last thing that I'll kind of just wrap up here. In chapter 13, but before that in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it talks about the body of Christ. And it talks about people that have the gifting to prophesy, gifting to laying of hands, those acts of service, all these different giftings. And like we said earlier, we need it. Because I'm lacking in the gift of healing of hands and prophesying. And there's people in this room that have that gift. And maybe you're not even aware of it. But I guarantee you that the Lord has given each of you a gift to encourage yourself, but also to encourage others. And those gifts are great and wonderful and spectacular. But in chapter 13, it says you can have all those gifts, but have love, and then you're nothing. And so to say it sounds like an oxymoron. It's like, man, I was talking about giftings. Now I'm saying that worth nothing. No, it's I need your gifts. And when I'm experiencing in your gifts, I'm experiencing the love. Because usually when you are operating in your gifting, I'm encouraged. And so if I'm encouraged, I'm guarantee you it's not from the enemy, it's from the Lord. And so I'm experiencing the love of God through what God has gifted you. And encourage y'all to come, to share your story, to share your life. And your life might be messy. And I'll tell you, ours is probably the messiest. Because of me. Deanna's very clean, she's wonderful and everything, but it's mainly me. But I love our mess, because we left a messy house with 5 kids and we headed to Tennessee. But I love our mess, because these kids are mine. And the Lord doesn't love that we're in our mess. He loves us even in our mess. He loves us through it all. And so I'll leave you with this, is that one thing that I'm grateful for each one of y'all, and I say it with truth in my heart, that y'all are genuine people. And I might be a little bit overbearing or might be just a little different, and thank you for loving me in those moments. And point of saying that is I love the way that you are. I don't want you to be another Ross. I don't want you to be maybe so talkative like I am or goofy as I am. I want to love you and the giftings and the personality that God has given you, and I need you here to help me grow in my walk with Jesus. And so that's one thing I love, that is a diverse people group here and personalities, because I don't see God the way you see him, and the way you see him encourages me and makes you go the height, the depth, the width, and the length of God, because the Lord is in you and he loves you. And I'm grateful for each of y'all. So thank y'all very much. God bless.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.